Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. John underwent a severe trial and temptation when the delegation from the Pharisees and the Levites from Jerusalem came to interrogate him. They did not come because they were filled with pious hope in the fulfillment of God's promises. They came in order to see what was up with this guy out in the desert and how they could either co-opt his message for their own purposes or how they could find fault with him and attack him and negate his ministry. So when they came to him and asked him, "Who art thou?" this was not an innocent question born of hope and faith. It was a brood of snakes in religious garments coming to negate the work of God and the Word of God, because they felt that there should be no work and Word of God unless it was coming out of their mouths. And so John here, he is tempted to kind of play footsie with these people. You know, they wield a lot of power. And, you know, we all, even if you're John the Baptist, all human beings, we love to be liked and we love to be approved of. And the last thing we want to be by nature is some kind of an outcast, some kind of a pariah. So it is within all of us that we want to be friends with everybody and we want to be liked and accepted by everyone. And so when John hears this delegation of holy harumphers come to him and say, "Who are you?" Right? "Who are you?" There was a temptation in his mind to maybe tell them what they would like to hear, to kind of answer them truly but softly so that he wouldn't ruffle their feathers too much and incite them against him. All right? And so there's that temptation in all of us. Let me tone it down so that it will be acceptable to unbelievers. You know, as a pastor, one of the funny things that often happens is that if I'm in a public place where there's people who are not church people, it often happens that non-church people think that they have valuable information to impart to the church. You know, you guys would be much more successful if you would, and then they list a whole bunch of unbelieving claptrap. Do they mean well? Maybe. Probably not. What they're really saying is, going to church isn't worth a dime. And I ain't going to church, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you what it is you can do if you want to get people like me showing up in your church. You got to get with the times, you know. And what you're seeing there is the voice of the world, the flesh, and the devil addressing God's holy Christian church and saying, "Have I got a program for you?" And I'm always like, "You know, well, thank you very much. Thank you very much. But you don't want to know what I'm thinking under my breath as I walk away." So John here, He's tempted. These people are ominous, they're threatening, they wield power and authority, they're pillars of society, and they are coming down to John and their... Because if they believed in him, if their question was one of faith, they would have come to his baptism. They would have listened to his preaching. But no, they held themselves aloof. And when they finally came to them, they came to interrogate him. All right? So what does John do? And we can thank God for this. John takes his stand clearly upon the word of God, and he will not even compromise with them for one little moment. He clearly tells them who he is and who he is not, and where they are wrong in their understanding. First of all, he says, and the Bible says it in a funny way, it says, and he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. Why is it worded like that? Because John is saying, in no uncertain terms, don't get any goofy notions about me. I am not the Christ. You see, he strongly points attention away from himself. I am not the Christ. And so they asked him, they say, what then? Art thou Elijah? Are you Elijah? And he says, I am not. Now, why does John say that? Because we know from the Bible and from the words of Jesus himself that, in fact, John is Elijah who was to come. All right? He would come in the spirit and power of Elijah. Jesus himself said of John, he is Elijah, which was to come. So why does John say, I am not? Because the Pharisees and the Levites, they actually believed that the actual prophet Elijah would be resurrected from the dead and would bodily appear at the end of time to announce the coming of the Messiah. So John was not about to buy into the idea that he might be the reincarnation of Elijah the prophet. So when they say, art thou Elias? Because their question contains an error, he says, no, I am not. In other words, not the way you think. All right? That's not God's plan. That's not God's word. So he says, I am not. And then he says, art thou that prophet? What prophet? The one we read about in Deuteronomy chapter 18 this morning. That God would send a prophet like Moses to the people. Now this happened partially all throughout the history of the Old Testament, where people like Elijah and Elisha and Isaiah and Jeremiah, etc., were sent by God to tell the word of God. But the prophet extraordinaire, the embodiment of the word of God and the fulfillment of all that ever came before, is Jesus Christ, the Messiah of God. And so again, when they say, art thou that prophet? He says, no. Why? Because he does not want to take the glory of God and put it on himself. He wants all the glory, all the attention, and all faith focused on Christ. And that's something that we need to learn today in our modern world, where even in churches, Christ Jesus falls into the background. And when preaching and church life is all about people and what they do together. You've heard people in religious circles talk about the community of faith. The community of faith. Now, there's a sense where that's true. The Christian church is a community of faith. But it's only a community of faith because Jesus is the one and only Savior. And what it means to be the community of faith is not that we are a messianic presence and hope in the world, but that we all have a common faith in Jesus, and it is our faith in the fulfillment of God's word in Jesus that makes us able to cope with the temptations and troubles of life, because we trust not in ourselves as the community of faith, however true that may be in the proper sense. We trust in Jesus Christ. You see, and that's the thing that's going on here with John. It's not about me and my work and my service. It's really all about Jesus. And so it is with us. It's not about me and my service to the Lord, my going to church, my giving offerings. That's not the center. All these things are necessary, but they're not the center. The center of real Christian faith is always, like John the Baptist, I must decrease and he, Jesus, must increase. All right? Jesus-centered faith. Jesus and Jesus alone. So after he says, no, 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 they said unto them, who art thou that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? Now, this question implies a little bit of exasperation and a little bit of, you know, they're getting sick of him and his denials, right? They're getting sick of old John. And they're, come on, we've got to go back home to our people and we got to give a report about you. So give us something that we can report to our leaders in Jerusalem. What do you say about yourself? And so John says, quoting Isaiah chapter 40, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as saith Isaiah the prophet. So he says, I am the one who is the divinely appointed and prophesied forerunner. I'm the guy to come ahead of time and announce the one who's coming after me. My whole life is one in which I bear witness to the one who comes later. I am preaching and baptizing so that you might be ready in faith to receive the one who is coming after me. Jesus, you see? And so it says, and they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? Right, now you see, now it gets into a kind of a who's got authority game. You know, wait, where's your baptizing license? Right? Wait a minute. You're not the Messiah. You're not Elijah. You're not the prophet. Where's your certificate of baptizing permission? Right? We're not going to allow you to just go around and be baptizing on people. Where is your certificate of authorization? And he says, I'll tell you where my certificate of authorization is from. All right? He says, I baptize with water, but there standeth among you one whom ye know not. He's already here, but he has not made himself publicly known yet. but he stands among you unrecognized. He it is who cometh after me, is preferred before me, and I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie his shoes. Right? So he says, you want to know where I get the authority to baptize from? I get it from the Messiah, from the one who is coming after me. He's already here. He's already the Son of God. He comes after me, but he was preferred before me. And here you see is a hint of the divinity of Jesus, a guy who comes after John and yet is before John at the same time. Alright, so here in this text, John is saying, my authority comes from God in the person of the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He it is that sent me to baptize. He it is that my preaching and work is all about. And he comes after me, but he's preferred before me. And I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie his shoes. So we learn here in our text for today that Christian faith, if it is genuine Christian faith, will always be riveted on Christ and on the gospel of Christ. Not on my works, not on any other kind of theological concern that would eclipse Christ. You know, in the Christian church as it exists today, some churches kind of put Christ as one thing among many emphases. You know, in some churches, the whole end times, end of the world, rapture stuff is the most important thing they ever talk about. Some churches, it's God and creation. That's the most important thing that they talk about. Some churches, the real love and the real center of attention is the work of the Holy Spirit in the midst of the church. And what happens in all of these places is that Christ, Jesus, and the gospel, they get lost in the sauce. Jesus becomes one of many things that we must be concerned about. The genius of our Lutheran faith, when our Lutheran faith is faithful to the Word of God, is that we are always supremely interested in Jesus Christ. You know, I remember visiting this church one time, and there was an inscription carved in the top of the pulpit, so that every time the pastor got in the pulpit, he would see this word. And it's a quotation from the Gospel of John, and it says this: Sir, we would see Jesus. And that's what real Christian preaching is all about. We would see Jesus. Tell us of Jesus. Tell us of the fulfillment of God's word and the rock-solid promises that come to us through Jesus, who both died and rose again for our redemption, and who will return on the last day in glory to judge the quick and the dead. Tell us of Jesus. And so it is we learn today, as Christmas dawns upon us, we would see Jesus. And we thank God for the ministry of John, who kept everyone's eyes riveted on Jesus when he could have succumbed to temptation and kind of toned everything down. He spoke clearly and unambiguously, pointing away from himself and pointing to Jesus. May we all ever point to Jesus. May we all ever trust in Jesus, and may he be our Alpha and our Omega, as he is in deed and truth. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.